A vision for the future of aviation from someone who's actually building it. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. During EAA Air Venture, Carter Aviation Technologies held a press conference to announce partners in the development of the Carter Personal Air Vehicle, including Lycoming and Blue Mountain Avionics. The Carter PAV is an evolution of the Carter Copter, a rotorcraft technology demonstrator which achieved significant advances in aerodynamic efficiency and flight at a mu of 1. That means the forward speed of the aircraft was equal to the tip speed of the rotor blade, which in turn means the retreating blade had an airspeed of 0. At one point during his discussion of the forthcoming PAV, company president and chief engineer Jay Carter Jr. made a vague reference to an epic endurance flight he envisioned for the new craft. I thought this idea needed some additional detail, so I scheduled some time to talk one-on-one with Jay Carter. My first question was, given the various forms of aircraft available for use as a baseline, and given the successful deployment of the V-22 Osprey, why would a slowed rotor compound be a step forward in high-speed vertical takeoff aircraft?
Well, the Osprey, that's a tilt rotor, and it's a obviously it's what the norm thinks is the right way to go. If you want to take off and land vertically, you have to go with a tilt rotor. The problem there is that the rotor is a compromise between a propeller and a rotorcraft, and so you just cannot optimize both at the same time. And it's got some other limiting features. Very high disc loading, which makes for very poor, if any, auto-rotation capabilities. So, our approach has just been a lot simpler approach. We're not going after hover, although we do have that capability to hover, but it does increase the complexity. It makes it along the lines of a helicopter. So our idea is safe vertical takeoff and landing, but primarily high-speed, very efficient cross-country cruise. And we think that is probably the biggest market. In fact, as I've heard it said, and we've even done some studies, that 80% of all of the helicopter markets could be addressed with an aircraft that just took off and landed vertically safely without hover. So that's really the market that we're going after, is that point-to-point transportation, but with the speed and efficiency of a fixed-wing airplane.
This may be a long answer, but tell us what you learned through the Carter Copter, the original Carter Copter machine. I know you've learned that maybe small block Chevrolet isn't the optimum power plant, but aside from that, what came out of that program?
That was a pretty sophisticated program, and probably in retrospect, I was pretty aggressive in what I was trying to do. Some of the things came easy, some of the things not so easy. My being an optimist, you know, I thought things would go a whole lot faster than they did. They've all worked out as I had originally thought they would, because I felt like my engineering was pretty sound. But surely things took longer than we thought. We spent maybe 2 years on and off, but in the total, probably cost us a couple years just in the development of the propeller. Very proud of that propeller, and we think it has lots of applications for other, you know, for fixed wing airplanes. But we really had no business in the overall scheme of things to have been developing a propeller when really what we were wanting to produce was a slowed rotor compound that had very good efficiency. And we could have done that with a conventional propeller. It would have been harder to get the performance that we wanted. But still, that was something that we really didn't need to develop. The other thing we developed was a landing gear, and we're very proud of the landing gear. The ability to absorb a 24-foot-per-second impact or a 36-foot-per-second impact without failing the landing gear. You probably need to check it over real good at a 36-foot-per-second impact, but it should survive that at least one time to save the passengers and maybe the aircraft. Well, that was a nice thing, but we could have still probably developed the slowed rotor without the landing gear. Very proud of the landing gear, and it's probably saved us some injuries. I mean, it's and certainly saved the aircraft on some occasions. So, retrospect, you know, maybe that was a really good thing to do, maybe not, but still, it did delay somewhat the ultimate goal of achieving this mu of one, where we were able to slow the rotor down and obtain an efficiency 1.5 times better than the best helicopter in the world has ever achieved. And I say they had a 50-60 year head start. So for our first prototype, that was a major achievement. We did that in conjunction with the Army. The Army got really interested in this technology, and they actually paid us $1 million to come in and be involved in the testing of the aircraft. So it was during that testing that we achieved this mu of one and this really good efficiency. But we could have gone faster, and of course the other thing that would have really helped was to have some funding. Ended up spending a lot of time and really reduced our efficiency with me spending time trying to raise money. So, you know, maybe we could have done this a little bit simpler, a little bit, you know, and achieved this mu of one quicker, and then that would have been easier then to obtain some funding. So some of this stuff is kind of hindsight. But in the end, you know, our goal was to build an aircraft that could fly 400 miles an hour and take off and land vertically. And we haven't achieved 400 miles an hour, but I think even some of the critics that were pretty adamant critics have now come around and said, you know, I think this is possible. Certainly when we achieved the efficiency that we did with the first prototype, and to get the efficiency on up is really straightforward. I mean, it's just basic aerodynamics. I mean, we're not looking at anything major, you know, to get this double this efficiency. I mean, we're going from a 34-foot wingspan to a 45-foot wingspan. Well, that in itself will increase our efficiency if we did nothing else 1.5 times. And so then a few other little things that we've done, we can double the efficiency. So now we're looking at maybe 3 times the efficiency of the very best helicopter, and efficiency is better than a whole lot of general aviation aircraft.
Tell us where this expertise in rotors and propellers comes from. I know that people have mentioned an involvement with the wind power industry. Tell us a little bit about that side of your background.
Well, that was the business that I had before I got into the gyro, the personal air vehicle, was the wind turbine business. And I was in that for, gosh, I don't remember, 18 years, I guess. And we built wind turbines and installed them all over the world, from India to France, England, and throughout the United States, Hawaii, north of the Arctic Circle. And I sold that business in 92 and then just totally got out of it in 94. And so that's how I got started in this. But there's similarities there. I mean, we had to design rotor, and we did some stuff in the wind turbine that nobody else has done. And it's still nobody's really doing. We used a two-bladed rotor. We used a teetering, just like we use in the gyro. It eliminates all the gyroscopic loads. So it meant that we could build a wind turbine that weighed about a fourth to a fifth as much as a three-bladed wind turbine for the same amount of power output. Well, that gave us a phenomenal cost advantage over the three-bladed ones. And so as a result of that, we licensed our technology to Electricité de France, the largest utility in the free world, to MAN, the largest manufacturing company in Europe that put in all the satellites into the orbit. They're the oldest wind turbine manufacturer in all of Europe, MAN. We sold part of our company to United Technologies. So we had a really good concept design there because we were so efficient from a structural standpoint. And basically that rotor design is the core of our rotor for the quadricopter, for the gyro, the slowed rotor compound. So it's the reason we've been able to make it so lightweight, and yet it has 4 to 6 times the inertia per pound of aircraft weight as any helicopter out there. Now, that's pretty amazing. Really, you know, you weigh half as much and you still got 4 to 6 times the stored up inertia of any helicopter out there. So that was part of the technology that carried over into the slowed rotor compound.
Talking with Jay Carter of Carter Aviation Technologies, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Jay Carter of Carter Aviation Technologies about the personal air vehicle, or PAV. Jay, at the press conference, and our listeners will have heard this a couple of weeks ago when they're hearing this, you dropped a few hints about the capabilities of this aircraft ultimately. And it sounded like you were leading up to some sort of long-distance demonstration flight. Do you want to give us any advance inkling of what that's going to be?
Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit. This aircraft was actually designed for either UAV applications, military applications, or commercial applications. And as a result of talking to a lot of the military, we kind of got a pretty good feel of what it is that they want. And they basically want an aircraft that will carry 1,000 pounds of payload and make a vertical takeoff and stay in the air for over 24 hours. Well, if you're going to design an aircraft to do that, by virtue of the fact that you can stay in the air 24 hours means you can go a long way. So we've designed the aircraft so that basically we can carry about 1,000 pounds of fuel in the wings, but our passengers sit high, elevated, so that they can look over the top of the pilot and the co-pilot. Well, that just gives us a huge volume underneath the passengers for four full-size golf bags, you know, equivalent-like, or we can put a fuel bladder that will carry an additional 1,500 pounds of fuel. So that gives us 2,500 pounds of fuel that we can carry in this aircraft. And the aircraft is actually being designed to be autonomous, basically fly itself, because that's what they need in the military. And we're just basically putting that into the same aircraft that will be a private aircraft, you know, a personal air vehicle. So we're combining those two, so that it makes this aircraft really compelling as far as the kind of its capabilities and stuff. It really is. We're getting close to the Jetsons, you know, as they say, you know, where we can program the aircraft and it basically flies us there, and if we run into trouble, it can make an automatic landing for us. And it picks out the airport, and if you don't pick out the airport, it's going to select it for you if you don't finally select it. And if there is no airport, it's going to find a flat piece of land and it's going to land you on that flat piece of land. At the present, though, we don't really know whether there's trees or buildings or whatever there, but we're eventually working on that too, so that with Google Earth, we can kind of make sure that at least that landing site within the last 6 months hadn't had a road or a building or trees or something like that on there. So anyway, that's part of the capabilities on this. But anyway, one of the things that we think that we will do, just to show off, it's not something that you would do as a person carrying, because nobody's going to be in an aircraft for 24 hours. But just to show off the capabilities, this aircraft has the capabilities of put two people in just from a safety standpoint. So you got two people in because people don't want an unmanned aerial vehicle flying across the United States or whatever. So, but maybe not on the first aircraft, but the second aircraft, we've got enough fuel, put two people in, we could make a vertical takeoff from downtown Dallas and fly nonstop, non-refueling, all the way to Paris, France. Or fly from Hawaii to New York City or something, you know, in that neighborhood of 5,000 miles with the amount of fuel that we can carry. And because our aircraft is so efficient, we'll end up with a peak L over D somewhere in the 13 to 14 to 1 peak L over D. So when we fly at high altitudes, we get our speed and we get good efficiency. And we'll back off there a little bit on the throttle, sacrifice a little speed to increase our range. But that's kind of the idea of what we have in mind, is to fly nonstop for 5,000 miles and actually take this aircraft first on a national tour, but then an international tour. Because we believe there's a huge market out there in developing countries for an aircraft that has point-to-point capabilities, because these developing countries do not have the airport infrastructure that we have here in the United States. They don't have the roads. So this is the reason why helicopter companies now are backordered 2 and 3 years, because they're needed, and most of them are going to these developing countries. So we see this as a huge market for this personal air vehicle and iterations of this to business air vehicles that'll carry 6 or 7 people with a restroom. And so that's kind of what we're seeing. And so we want to take this and demonstrate this on a worldwide tour and get people excited around the world of what is available. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing like seeing. So we fly this distance, then we just push the fuel bladder up underneath the rear seat and take the porta potty out of the back seat, you know, and stuff it up underneath the rear seat, because we got enough room under there to just put everything under there, you know. And now then we can take people for a ride, and we can demonstrate the capabilities of this aircraft with people actually in the aircraft. Because we want to show them just how smooth and quiet this aircraft can be. You know, it reminds me, you know, when our pilots achieved this MUAV 1, they came back and commented that it was so ultra smooth that there was no vibration or noise of any kind, any sound to indicate they're in a rotary wing aircraft, let alone one flying at 170 miles an hour and a rotor turning 106 RPM, and they could count it as it rotated. You know, normally when things like that, it's vibrating, you know, and stuff. Not the case. I mean, this becomes basically a fixed-wing airplane. So the best way to show people is let them go fly in it. And so that's what we will do, is we will take people for a flight in the aircraft, spend maybe a week or so there, and then we'll take off and fly nonstop to New Delhi or Bombay or something, you know, and then spend some time down there. Maybe we might take a detour into Africa somewhere where we think there's probably a big market for unmanned aerial vehicles in Africa. But we just pop around the country, I mean around the world, and show people what is the capability of this aircraft. And that is the way that we see is to the quickest way to get this aircraft accepted by the public and get people interested in manufacturing it. Because we can't manufacture them ourselves, not in the quantity that I think the market is there. So we have to demonstrate this, and then we turn around and we license the technology. So, you know, that's our plan, and we're working hard to get that aircraft flying so we can get this started.
If you couldn't tell, Jay Carter is passionate about his project. My original intent was to spend 15 minutes in this conversation. I should learn by now that when you talk to Jay, that's just not possible. You'll hear the conclusion of our conversation and Jay's vision for a PAV in your garage tomorrow. Carter's website, by the way, is www.cartercopters.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.